Welcome to the Icelandic Horse Podcast. Today I'm having a conversation with Nele Kumle, who is from Australia. Hello, Nele. Welcome to Icelandic Horse Podcast.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me.
It's 5:30 in the morning here in Sweden, and it's about 4:30. Is that correct?
3:30.
At yep. Your place? Yeah.
Afternoon.
Yeah, and we're having winter, and you are almost in summer. It's down under. That's so exciting. And we're going to talk about the Icelandic horses in Australia. But before we start, if you meet someone that you don't know, how would you present yourself? Who is Nele?
Well, I am originally from Austria. I moved to Australia in 2003. And got stuck here. I was always interested in horses and used to ride Icelandic horses in Austria. And when I first came to Australia, I was looking for Icelandic horses here, and there weren't many, and certainly not very well known at all. And yeah, eventually I found them, and that's where everything started. And now I have a stud called Little Starter Icelandic Horses, with around 18 horses, and I really love what I'm doing, even though it's really just a hobby at this stage. We also run a dairy farm here, okay. So the horses are just on the side at the moment.
Mm. How many Icelandic horses are there in Australia?
There's approximately 280 at the moment, okay. And that includes all the foals from last year and earlier this year that haven't been registered yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you know when they first came?
Yep. So there are some records that we found in a newspaper, and a really old one, that there were four Icelandic horses imported to Australia from Denmark in 1863.
Okay.
So really early in the piece, and we don't know where they ended up, obviously. But since then, the next time we know of horses here was in 1990, or in the mid-90s, sorry, when the Haldane family imported 8 fillies and a colt from Denmark. And that's really how everything started here in Australia, with the breeding program and the horses. And then since then, quite a few horses have been imported. So I imported 2 mares in foal in 2008.
Okay.
I imported them from Canada and the US, because at the time it was much cheaper transport-wise. Mm. Yeah, and I also imported a stallion from Canada the year after, and then the Haldane family brought in a stallion from Iceland, which we will talk about in a bit.
Yeah.
And in 2015, one of a new breeder came on the scene, and he really went out and brought in some fantastic horses that he bought from all over Europe and also Iceland, which is great, because now we have some more blood.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. How do you import Icelandic horses to Australia?
Yeah, it's quite complicated, or not really complicated, but there's a lot of rules and restrictions you have to be aware of. So if the horse comes from Europe, it has to be in quarantine in either Germany or England, depending on which transport company you use, for 2 weeks, and then it goes on the plane and flies to Australia, to Melbourne, and then it has to be in quarantine again for 2 weeks. Okay. And it has to be health tested, obviously, while it is there, for certain diseases, so you don't bring anything in. Mm. The same is if it comes from the US or Canada, the same rules. But if the horse comes from Iceland, it can be more complicated, because the horse has to first come to Europe, then it has to stay long enough in the EU to get vaccinated before it can actually leave for Australia or go into quarantine.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it used to be that they had to be in Europe, in the EU for 3 to 6 months, but luckily that was changed. So now they only have to be there for about a month.
So it's more complicated to import them from Iceland than from Canada or Europe or US.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And okay, and that's because of the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It would be great if we could get a direct flight from Iceland to Australia without stop. Maybe you could forego quarantine, but I don't think that's ever gonna happen.
No.
Because we don't have to vaccinate for all these diseases either.
Okay, I'm sort of curious about the Icelandic horse. They have all this fur, and now in Sweden it's really, really thick. We're going against these cold winter days. And if you import a horse from Europe or Iceland, how does that work? Do they come to Australia with all this fur? How do they adjust?
They actually adjust really well, which is always surprises me. But I have always tried to import horses either in spring or in autumn. So the temperature differences are not as huge, even though it's sometimes they're still pretty big. But what usually happens is when they're in quarantine, they clip their hair, so they clip their coat, and because they have to wash them and in all sorts of stuff. And then when they come here, they actually, you know, they don't, if it's hot, they don't have the thick coat. And usually it takes them not very long to adjust because their coat, even if they come in spring, where they would usually go into winter in Europe, they will have the short coat because they've been clipped. Mm-hmm. But then when it is February and March here, the daylight hours get shorter again, and they will put on winter coat like every other horse here.
Okay, yeah. So they adjust. That's exciting. Yeah. Oh. But the breeding material in Australia, tell us, what does it look like?
We have a really good mix of bloodlines here. And, you know, we're still adding to them, obviously. So we did have a son of Galsi, Frasoda Crocky. Fortunately, he just passed away 2 days ago.
Okay.
He was 25 or 24. So there's like a fair bit of offspring of Galdur Fradeli. And then we have quite a few mares and also a couple of stallions with a fair bit of Ori Fafufu in him. So that is Haukur Fra Södlum and Hagen Fra Reidelfiri, if I say it correctly. And quite a few mares have Ori in their pedigree as well.
Okay.
Yeah, we have my old stallion Dagfari. From Clear Lake Farm. He was from Rikolku's line.
Okay.
He's Nautfari from Wiesenhof's son. Yeah, unfortunately, he died a couple of years ago. We have mares with, one of my mares has Rapfra Holzmuller in her.
Yeah.
So not her father, but her grandfather. And our stallion Lotto von Svala Kolk here, he has a bit of Rap in him as well.
Okay.
Yeah, what else do we have? We have an organisti Fra Horny son up in near Sydney. He's only turning 3, so that's very exciting to see what he produces.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and Frotter Fra Falnesi, I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly. He is Lotto's father, so I've got some, very interesting bloodlines here.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you also import semen when you cover mares, or do you use the stallions that you have over there?
So until now, we have only used the stallions, but I'm really, really excited about this because I'm just organizing a stallion to be collected in Denmark, which, and he will go into quarantine in December.
Okay.
And the stallion is Hedin Fro Feti. He's a white stallion. And yeah, we're super, super excited because it's the first time really it's being done at that scale, because he's going to be collected for enough of around 20 mares, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have the opportunity to bring the semen over here, and hopefully next year we can, you know, AI some mares, and yeah, fingers crossed we get something really nice.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the first time.
The first time, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, we keep our fingers crossed for you that it will work very well. How many Icelandic foals are born in Australia every year? Ish.
Look, it depends on the year, but so there's probably three main breeders, so the Haldanes and Megalong and me, and then there's a couple of smaller breeders as well that don't breed every year. So I would say between 5 and 20 foals a year.
Okay. The breeding horses, how do you keep them in Australia? I'm thinking about like free in Iceland on big areas, or is it more like we have in Europe in a little bit smaller pastures?
Yeah. So depending on how much land you have, so probably not as free as in Iceland, but some of the bigger farms, you know, they can keep the horses in fairly big paddocks or pastures. We call them paddocks here. Mm-hmm. You know, they have bigger groups and of maybe 10 or 20 horses, and you know, they have a big enough paddock for that.
Yeah.
The smaller studs like me, I don't have as much room at home, but I'm very lucky that I have 17 acres up the road that I lease, which is nicely on the hill and all this sort of stuff for the young horses. So 17 acres is around, I think, what is it? It's about 6.8 hectares, and they can run free there, which is great. Mm. Still see people, obviously, but yeah. So that's, and then the you know, the other people that have one or two foals every now and then, they usually don't have a huge amount of room. They have more the smaller pastures like in Europe. Yeah.
So it's more like Europe, yeah. Mm. I want to talk a little about breeding assessments. Do you have that in Australia?
Not yet.
No?
Because it's been, you know, because people live so far apart, it is actually really hard to even organise getting together and, you know, for everyone. Mm. But at this stage, we've been very lucky. We've had Disa Reinis and also Silke Feuchthofen, who are both breeding judges, and they've done clinics here, and they've sort of been assessing the horses a little bit, you know, on an unofficially. So we have a bit of an idea of what we have, which has been very handy. And also, well, the Icelandic Horse Association of Australia, which I'm a big part of as well. Mm-hmm. What we want to try to do, you know, also with New Zealand, because they're in the same boat, and with Five, is bring in linear assessments like they do on young horses in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And do that, you know, on a voluntary basis for whoever wants to have it done. Because that is something we can do with just one breeding judge. So if someone comes over for, you know, a clinic or a holiday, we can incorporate that, and hopefully we can keep those records at least, you know, somewhere, so it's accessible. And if we're lucky, I think there's talk about maybe that those records can maybe one day go onto Worldfinger, but I'm not sure at what stage that is at. So, which would be really good. I think that is a really good start, because the written assessments, they're pointless at this stage, because apart from you need two judges, which would cost a lot of money to get here. Mm. And the horses we have here, they're simply not trained well enough to even bother to do it. So, because we don't have enough people that know how to train the horses properly, and also the owners, you know, the people that ride. At the moment, most horses are just leisure horses. You know, they go riding for fun, and there's no sport here yet.
No, okay. Do you have oval tracks or things like that?
No, nothing. Unless you go to the trotting tracks, which are, you know, for the standard breeds for the cat in the sulkies.
Okay, yeah. So you don't have other competitions and things either.
Nothing Icelandic horse related.
No.
But some people go to the local rural shows, you know, the agricultural shows where you can show your horse, you know, in hand and walk up and down the grass, and or you can ride it in a circle in all gates. But really, people here, a lot of people don't even know what gates are, you know, the tilt or the pace. So, yeah, like I've had a mare that we've shown in a couple of basic sort of dressage competition, pony dressage, which is, she did really well in. So, you can sort of find a spot for if you want to really go into competition. You can find something, but it has nothing to do with gates usually.
No, okay. But are people interested in the Icelandic horse? Do you think so in Australia? Are they curious about the tilt and pace?
Yes, absolutely. Like the thing is, you have the people that actually meet them and look into them a little bit, or a lot of people lately, they've gone to Iceland for a holiday and have ridden the horses there, and they come home and they go like, oh, I wonder if there's any in Australia.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where it starts. But there's still so many people out there that have never ever heard about an Icelandic horse.
No.
So it's a bit of a mission of, you know, us breeders and the association to, and also the owners, you know, that are passionate about the breed, to really just get them out there and show what they can do. To get people interested and more people on the horse. Especially also, you know, we also want to have more young people involved that want to maybe eventually go into competition or something like that.
Other places to go in Australia to that have Icelandic horse tours?
Not really. There is one place, and that's that you can actually go and have lessons at, and on a sort of bigger scale, and that is Megalong Icelandic Horses near Sydney.
Okay.
Which is also, they're just building that up. He's the guy that imported all those horses from Europe not that long ago, and that's what he, as far as I know, wants to do. So they offer lessons, they offer horse training, and also some riding. Then where I am in Victoria, we don't really have that. Like, there's a couple of people that, you know, that will offer some lessons, but the real tracks or tours, there's nothing like that around.
Do you know if there are other gated horses in Australia?
Yep, there's quite a few, actually.
Okay.
There's some Peruvian pasos, some paso finos, also, you know, small scale breeding, not many around. There's some American saddle breeds, Rocky Mountain horses. There's one breed of mountain horses.
Okay.
But there's also obviously the standard breeds who are used for harness racing, for pace racing.
Mm-hmm.
They are all gated, but people don't really see the quality once they ride them. You know, if they're off the track, they're usually really pacey, but you could, with a bit of training, you could actually get them to tilt quite nicely. And there's a few people out there that are, you know, have caught on to that, that these horses would be actually really nice to ride with you know, if they don't just pace around. But the problem is here is that there's not enough knowledgeable people, like riding instructors, or, you know, people that can train the horses to a certain level. Like, everyone can, like, there's a lot of people that, you know, that just have their horse started by someone they know, and that works really well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when it comes to gait training or tote training, there's not really many people in the country that really know what they're doing. Okay. So yeah.
So you have quite a room for more people to come and train tilt and pace for your Icelandic horses.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Nelle, for taking your time and telling us about the Icelandic horse in Australia.
Well, thanks for having me. It was, great to talk to you. And, if anyone ever wants to come to Australia and meet Icelandics, please get in touch.